In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Our meditation this evening is entitled, Whatever He Says, Do It. Whatever He Says to you, do it. I would like to congratulate you on the blessed fast of the Virgin Mary. And as we have a revival that is intended to kindle or rekindle our spirits with the love and passion of Christ, the Holy Virgin Mary has always been a source of direction towards our Lord Jesus. As a faithful mother, she prays for us, intercedes on our behalf, and she is like a road sign that directs us towards Christ. And this is the true understanding of the Virgin Mary in the Orthodox Church, is that we love her because she is an amazing example to live and by, and such a wonderful character in the Bible. She was chosen, hand chosen by the Lord to bear the Son. But one of the great qualities of the Virgin Mary is that she points us towards Christ, and she tells us, whatever He says to you, do it. Look at Him, focus on Him. See what He is telling you to do, what the Lord is like. Of course, this verse is taken from the miracle of turning the water into wine, which is mentioned in John chapter 2. And it says that this was the first of the miracles that our Lord Jesus had performed, and it was placed in Cana of Galilee as our Lord Jesus attended a wedding. And the story reads, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Officially, a Jewish teacher can start to have disciples and to preach and to teach at the age of 30, according to the Jewish custom. So this was just before the Lord turned 30, probably, because it's His first miracle that He performed publicly. And He was just starting to gather His disciples and to set up for His mission or His preaching. So He's telling her that my hour has not yet come to begin to show to the world that I am the coming and the awaited Messiah. So the Virgin Mary actually didn't comment on these words. Like, she wasn't concerned too much. She had this kind of love relationship with the Lord Jesus. And even though He's telling her, my hour has not yet come, she didn't respond or go into a long conversation with Him. On the other hand, all she said was that she turned to the servants and she gave them this commandment. Whatever He says to you, do it. This is John chapter 2, verse 5. And of course, we can read the rest of the miracle, as we are aware that our Lord Jesus indeed did as she had asked Him. So it's a clear sign of her intercession for us. But what I want to focus on this evening is the road sign that directs us towards Christ. The Virgin Mary, the saints, the commands, they all point us to one direction, to listen to the voice of God, to listen to His voice, to heed to His commandments. And this is our purpose here on earth, is to know the will of God, to interpret it, and to live by it. Whatever He says, do it. In order to do what God is asking us to do, we have to have a level of trust. A level of trust. So we have to believe truly in our hearts that this is the inspired word of God. Because if we have any doubts in our hearts, then how can we say that, oh, you know, maybe God said it, maybe He didn't say it. No. We are confident this is where it all starts, that the Holy Scriptures is where it all starts for us in terms of my relationship with God. To realize what God has been doing with the creation since its inception, since the beginning of time, and up until this day, and will continue until His second coming. To understand God's qualities and God's love. To understand that He is the Savior of the whole world. Whatever He says to you, do it. Don't argue much. Don't have any doubts in your hearts. Trust in Him and know that He is a loving and a caring God. But what God does God want us to do? Quite often we are asked the question, what is God's will? Is it to marry this person or not to marry? To go to this school or not to this school? To purchase this house or car or not to purchase? What is it that God wants us to do? Well, the Holy Scripture says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. First and foremost, God wants us to be sanctified, to be holy, to live a righteous life. Whatever He says to you, do it. And what does He says to you? Be holy just as I am holy. This is what God wants, to be holy. And how is it possible to live a holy life? Well, definitely to be a part of Him. Baptism, the sacrament of chrismation, is how we are planted in the vine. And then we are nourished through the sacraments. Many people today say, it is enough for me to attend a meeting or a revival or to sing some songs, and this is quite sufficient. But the Orthodox Church is not like that. The Gospel of St. John is a very sacramental gospel. It speaks about all the sacraments of the Church in one part or the other. And especially in chapter 6, our Lord clearly speaks about how important it is to be a part of this vine, to be part of the juice that flows through the vine and to be nourished through it. He says to us, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. These are all the blessings that we received as we partake of the Eucharist. But St. Paul goes on to say to us that we need to be ready. We cannot come up to partake of the Holy Eucharist while we are not ready. We need to be cleansed. We need to go through this process that God has appointed for us, which is the sacrament of repentance and confession. And he says that actually if we partake of the body and blood of Christ in an unworthy manner, it's going to be a condemnation against us. But people are going to say, so I will never be worthy. We tell him, Lord, not because we are worthy, but because we are in need. We are in need that your blood would flow through our own blood, and that we may have to partake of this juice of the vine, that it would flow through us to give us life here on earth, strength and eternal life in the life which is still to come. So he speaks about partaking in the body and blood of Christ in a worthy manner, and that we need to examine ourselves, examine our ways, lest we partake of it in an unworthy manner. So if the Virgin Mary looks at all her children today, and she looked at the servants, and you know, we could be those servants, and she says, whatever he says to you, do it. Then we have to take it as a clear command to know his will and to live by it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Secondly, to understand his commandment, and the big part of it, of our life here on earth, is to live in this fellowship, to be partakers of the same body, the body of Christ, and to partake of the sacraments as the Church has taught us. Thirdly, whatever he says to us, do it. we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to understand how the Lord conducted himself, how he treated the people who are around him, to live a wise life, to be able to discern the ability between good and evil, to be able to distinguish where the temptation is coming to us from, and to be able to handle it in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should definitely have the mind of Christ, as St. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." But we have the mind of Christ. Now, when I say that I have the mind of Christ, the first thing that comes to my mind is to be compassionate towards others. He has taught us this. And St. Mary is telling us, whatever he says to you, do it. So he said to us to be compassionate, to be loving, being kind to one another, tender-hearted and merciful and forgiving, just as Christ also forgave us. Our Lord Jesus cared for the marginalized, the outcasts, the people who had no one to remember them. And this was his mind exactly. This was his thinking. He came to us with a beautiful message which he shared in the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 4, saying, verses 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. He set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim an acceptable year of the Lord." His message was very clear. This is where his teaching is, and this is what we need to do. Whatever he says, do it. It is as simple as that. This is what he came to do, this is what he expects us to do. The last couple of days, really, God has been speaking to us as a congregation, but to me personally, in several ways, several manners, concerning the outcasts and those who have no one to remember them. We've had here on Saturday night the guest, Mr. Dr. Muhammad Rahouma, and he shared with us also, and his wife Yvonne shared with us on Sunday, how it is possible that a community cares for the converts. And he gave me such an amazing analogy, and he said, the converts are like the bats. They are neither birds nor mammals. Like, they don't fit into both categories. Like, bats can fly, but they fly and hide at night. They have no feathers, so, but they really look kind of awkward, so they don't really fit with the bird kingdom, right? And then they look more like mammals, but they can't walk on the earth. Like, they can't walk on 2 feet and fit with animals. So they're kind of hidden in the dark, you know, they just hide away from everyone else, and they have their own life, and they don't fit into either communities. And the amazing thing is that yesterday I received a phone call when we were in Ottawa with the youth early in July. I went to Parliament Hill, and all the group was just kind of walking around, and I found some kids running to me, and they said, "Are you a priest?" I said, "Yes." And they said, "Our mom wants to speak with you." So their mom came, and, you know, there were like 4 or 5 kids, and she started speaking with me, and she said, like, "I'm a new immigrant to Canada, and I don't have a church, and actually I'm a convert also from Islam, and I'm looking for a community and a place to belong to." So I give her the phone numbers of the churches, the Coptic churches around Ottawa and Montreal and stuff like that. Anyhow, she called me yesterday, only last night, on Sunday night. And you know, she said, I haven't been able to find a place or a community or a place to belong to. And she gave me the exact same analogy that I heard from Dr. Rahum. And she said, you know, Father, I feel like a bat. I neither fit with the Christians nor am I able to fit with the Muslims. People are looking at me with so much suspicion. Maybe she's like someone who is like a spy. No one is teaching me. I have no one to coach me, to show me how to be like a Christian woman. Her husband died in the Middle East after they converted. Not sure because of this reason or not. But she is on her own and she has like 4 or 5 kids that she's trying to raise. And she said, I need help. I need a community. I need someone to care for me. And I just found myself receiving this message over and over. What is the mind of Christ? This is exactly where the mind of Christ is. And over I've been hearing that and thinking that as a community, we are living for ourselves. You know, most if not all of the prayers or requests that we receive on the altar are concerning, please pray for my exam. Please pray for my job. Please pray for, my relationship with my husband. Please pray for my health, which are all amazing requests and very important. But I don't know how to say it better than we have all become very much egocentric. It's all about me. It's all about me. And you know, the amazing thing about the mind of Christ, the mindset of Christ, is that when we care for others, all of or most of our problems will be resolved automatically without us struggling through them. When I look out for the interest of someone else and I call a lonely person or someone who has no community, or if I coach someone in the faith or I serve them genuinely and extend a loving hand, you know what? Most of these things are going to be resolved, whether we figure it out or not. But as the scripture says that, us as believers, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him who died for us and rose on the third day. And I think this is the message for me for tonight, at least. The whole concept of whatever He says to you, do it. Okay? The Lord says, go and teach and preach and baptize and be a part of the community. Don't just close yourselves amongst the four walls of the church. And every day we are in agony and pain because of my needs and the things that I want. As we begin to extend our love for someone else outside of our own egocentrism and our own ethnocentrism also, I want to say, because all of our needs are just, we want to enclose ourselves. As soon as we open up our mind to do what God wants from us, and as soon as we experience God's love for the whole world. Remember, we say John 3:16 like a million times, and every little kid knows it. For God so loved the world. The world around us is really struggling. And there is so much need for us to be the light of the world and salt to the earth around us. What are we doing about it? God is sending us these days a message that we have to start taking action. We can't just, stand back and pretend that everything is okay. God wants us to act now. Together, put our hands, in each other's hands. And you'll say, well, I haven't been called to, go out into the world and to teach and to have this amazing, evangelism ministry. Touch the life of one person. One person, other than yourself and myself. Call someone up, invite someone, give them the good news. Tell them, just call them up, even if they don't want to come to church, just tell them God loves you. He is still there and He's waiting for you and He really wants to be a part of your life. And we cannot ignore this. We cannot ignore this message that God is sending us now at this particular time. There's so much to speak about this subject, but I want to conclude here. And I just want to say St. Mary is so beautiful because she points us towards Christ. And she says, whatever He says to you, do it. Now it is laid upon my shoulder to go and figure out what is it that God wants from me. Today, earlier in the morning, we read in the Gospel that our Lord Jesus said that He has not come to be served, but to serve, and to offer Himself as a ransom for many. Maybe this is what he wants me to do, to be a servant, to be someone who spreads the light and to touch someone else's life. May the prayers and intercession of our beloved Saint Mary be with us, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.